All right. Well, it's Sunday afternoon. Welcome to Awaken Me Too. Awaken Me Too, as you know, is 30 minutes dedicated to real stories about real people that have had a real encounter with the living God. My name's Henry, and I'm so pleased to be here today. I'm here with a friend of mine that actually grew up in Memphis, Jim Montgomery. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Henry. It's great to be here.
Well, Jim, we kind of crossed paths through business.
Sure.
But we really don't know each other very well, so I was just finding out that you did grow up here in Memphis. Are you married?
I've been married for 32 years now. So,
all right. You're going to catch up with Lisa now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I met my wife, and it was, for me, love at first sight. And so we both went to the University of Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, absolutely.
It's a good time to be a University of Alabama fan the last 10 years.
You know, Nick Saban has done so many wonderful things for the University of Alabama. It'll be interesting to see how things turn out with the national championship game. But I went to Alabama and went next door where there's a group of people that lived in a house, and I saw this girl named Beverly Abraham, and I said, my goodness me, this is the prettiest girl I've ever seen in my entire life, and she's sweeter than she is pretty. And, you know, somebody on the inside is prettier than they are on the outside, and their outside's pretty dead-gum good.
Right.
So I asked her out on a date, and we went out and had a lot of fun. Then we lost connection, got back together, got married in December 30th. 1989, and it's been a lot of fun ever since.
Fantastic. So, do you have children?
You know, we don't, and that's another fascinating story. Now, I act like a child a lot of times,
right.
So that's got to count for something. But, you know, we have never been able to conceive. And just to fast forward, and then I'm sure we're going to rewind in this conversation, it's interesting, Henry, because when we got married, I was 30, she was 29, and we figured, hey, let's go ahead and start a family now. We're not getting any younger. Let's go ahead and get started. And we just were never able to conceive. So we went to some specialists, and they said, well, you know, first thing we need to do is to make sure that everybody's okay, and everybody got checked out. Nothing wrong with her. Nothing wrong with me. And they said, you should have a baseball team of kids. We don't know what's wrong. So we did all these different things, but one of the things that they suggested that we do was in vitro fertilization. And we said, thanks, but no, we believe wholeheartedly that life begins at conception.
Right.
So we would rather not have kids than be forced to do and go down that path, because if we did go down that path, what are they going to do with the remaining amount of embryos? Are they going to do scientific things on that? What happens when they implant, let's say, 6, 8, 10 of the embryos in her? Are we going to have to selectively reduce, which is the term they use? So we just obviously trusted God, and we just ended up not having kids, but we have so many people that have lived with us, and we have two nieces, Mallory and Natalie, that are living with us right now, so we haven't missed a beat.
Right.
If anything, we feel like God's in control. Henry, I'll mention this. I can't tell you, and I'm sure you feel the same way. How many times has God taken you kicking and screaming, going down a path that you did not want to go down, only to find out once you got there, it was the best place to be.
Best place for you.
Best place to be. And God has never, ever made a mistake in my life. He's batting 1,000.
Right.
And so why would I start to doubt him now after time, after time, after time, after time? He's just been amazing. That's a long-winded story about us not having any kids, but it's an interesting story behind the story.
That is interesting. So you grew up here in Memphis.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in a home where God was honored, or did you grow up in a home where everybody was pretty much far from God? How did you get this personal relationship with God?
Well, my mom and dad, both strong Christians, both my brothers, strong Christians.
Older brothers.
Mm-hmm. And grew up in a household where we did our best to try to honor God. Did we do it perfectly? No. Did we seek God? We wanted to, and we did in many ways, like everybody listening in right now. There's going to be times in your life that you feel close to God and some times that you veer off, and I think that's part of the human condition, but hopefully it'll continue to rise up. So to answer your question, absolutely. We had some great Christian parents and two older brothers that were good Christians. And this is how, if this is what you're leading into, how the Lord grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and found me. It's interesting because people have, I used to say, a lot more inspiring, crazy, miraculous story of how they got to know the Lord. I'd like to say, Henry, it was not that miraculous. But you know what? That's not true.
Sure.
Everybody has a miraculous story to tell. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and put Him first and let Him be the King of your life, your heart, your decisions, everybody has a miraculous story, and it is truly miraculous.
And unique to that person.
Exactly. Exactly. So I grew up at Second Presbyterian Church. Loved Second Presbyterian Church. Loved a lot of the ministers, and those listening might have heard of Dr. Henry Russell.
Right.
A great gentleman, a wonderful fella, a lot of great stories. But during that time, they had a thing called Vacation Bible School. Gosh, I was maybe 6, 7 years old and went to the Vacation Bible School through Second Pres. And while I was there, this lady said, look, you know, we're having fun and we're doing all these arts and crafts and we're doing all these interesting things, but let's get down to the nuts and bolts. For anybody that wants to become a Christian, here are the benefits. Number one, all of your sins, all of your mistakes, all of your errors, all the things you're ashamed of, all the things that kind of get your head down a little bit, those can all be forgiven. And I thought,
that's okay.
Okay. Not only that, but you can have peace with God through Christ. I thought, wow, okay. They said, not only that, when you die, you'll go to a place that's perfect, that's amazing, no weeping, no gnashing of teeth. We can't describe it, but it's an amazing place. And so she went on and on and on about all these different things. You can even have peace with yourself.
You thought that was a pretty good deal, even at 6 years old.
I love all of these things. And Henry, all I thought was, what a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, who in their right mind wouldn't want to have all of these benefits?
You know, that's why they call it good news.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not just good news. It's wonderful news, especially during this Christmas season and New Year's. I tell you what a great way to end the year that we're in and start with a new leaf and just realize if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm not saying your life's going to be easy. I'm not saying that all your problems are going to go away. But you have somebody that's got your back.
Right.
And the person that has your back is the person that created the universe and created you and knows every single thing about you. And if he's got your back, hey, what do we have to worry about? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. So as this young, probably more mature than average teenager, how did you decide to pick the University of Alabama?
Well, that's a great question. I went to a small college in North Carolina, right outside of Asheville, right outside of Black Mountain, called Montreat.
Montreat, okay.
And back then it was called Montreat Anderson College. And I thought, you know, this might be a great place to go to school. And the reason I wanted to go there was, number one, I liked playing. I liked going out and having fun, clean fun.
Right.
But I didn't study as much as maybe I wanted to. And I thought, you know, here's a small college. It only had 300 students. I think the student-teacher ratio was like maybe 8 students per one teacher. I said, you know, this might help me transition in. And it was also a conservative Christian college that preaches, as you said, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would pray before all of the exams. And I thought, you know what? That's where I need to go to school.
Right.
I need all the help I could get. So I graduated from there with an associate's in science degree. And then I decided, let's go stay a little bit closer to the Memphis, Mid-South area, and went to the University of Alabama.
For what?
Which obviously is where I said I met my bride.
Yeah, so you got an associate's degree at?
At Montreat.
Montreat. And so you went to University of Alabama for?
Business.
Business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I always had a desire to start my own business.
Okay.
And so that's ever since I was a little kid, that's something I always wanted to do. And that's why I went into business with a general degree in business so I could take the upper level courses of accounting, of all the different things that make up a business, whether or not it's marketing or how to run your books or whatever the case might be. And that really primed and helped me in the business that I have now.
So this idea that you had for Telelink, was this an idea that you had in college, and after you got out of college, you decided this computer thing has really taken off, and I think I really need to go in that direction? Or how did God kind of direct you towards getting involved with computer software and websites and all the things that you're doing?
Henry, great question. And to be honest with you, I'm pretty certain I have ADD or ADHD, or maybe both. I don't know that much about it, but I have written down 3 legal pads of ideas. I mean, I'm driving down the street and I come up with an idea. Are they good? Only time will tell. I was working for this one company and I was a district sales manager traveling Southern Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, and Arkansas. Loved it. Great company. Had a blast. But I thought, now's the time for me to start something. And this was when computers started kind of coming out.
What year was this?
1989.
Okay, so this was before the...
Before the internet?
Yep.
Before all this stuff. And I had an idea. Why don't we take people's data and back it off to an offsite storage facility, and we'll call the company Telelink, Tele for telephone, because remember, there was really no ISDN, there was no internet, there was none of this.
And there was that weird ding-dong-ding.
Exactly. The 4800 baud modem was the fastest thing that they had at that time. Thus the name Telelink, Tele for telephone, and linking their computer with our server. So I sold stock. Became a corporation, a C Corp.
Okay.
Had through these investors the seed money that I needed to get started. Then I had a team of software people write the program for me and did a great job and sold a lot of things. And Bibbs Enterprises read about me. Bibbs Enterprises said, "Jim, we're interested in maybe buying you out." And I said, "Thanks, guys, but I'm kind of happy with what I'm doing." They said, "Well, can we make you an offer?" And I said, "Okay, sure." And they did. And I said, "It's yours.
Yeah.
You can have it.
You can have
it. Here it is." So I sold everything, my clients, the software, the copyrights, the programs, everything except for the corporate name. So Bibbs Enterprises took that, and that's how I got into the computer sales, consulting, troubleshooting, web design, web hosting, email solutions, you name it. My company, Telelink, is the best way to describe it. It's an outsourced IT firm. If you're a smaller company, you can't afford to have your own full-time guys, so they outsource it to us. So if you're a small guy and you have a virus and you need to get rid of it, you call us, we come out and remove it. You need a new computer, we get it, we come out, transfer all the data, and install it for you. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Or if you need a website like JesusHelps.me, and you try to go to the websites and try to do it yourself, and you get hopelessly lost. I speak from experience. When you get desperate, you pick up the phone and you call Jim at Telelink and tell him what you've done. And he laughs and says, "Well, why don't you let me help you with that?" And you have a website a couple of weeks later.
Well, it's thank you for saying that. We've been in business since 1989, and I kind of feel like that commercial that says, "What, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two."
Right.
And so we've been in business for, you know, well over 30 years. We've seen a lot. And our job is to make people's headaches go away.
So what's your website?
It's Go Telelink. That's GOTELE, like telephone, and then link, LINK.com. That's GoTelelink.com.
And your phone number?
901-685-5552. That's 901-685-5552.
So all IT needs, you're just a complete one-stop shop for basically any IT need that you need.
Absolutely. We take care of almost 300 businesses in the Memphis and Mid-South area. We have 10 full-time employees. We're not just a small one-person fly-by-night company. We really take it seriously. I'm glad that you kind of teed up the ball like that, because some people say, "Yeah, I'm president of this company, Telelink. I've been in business for a long time." Well, really, to be honest with you, it's more like, I think this one makes sense, but I'm not really president of the company as much as I'm a Christian that just happens to be president
of a company.
Of the company. And there's a big distinction.
Huge.
Between the two.
Yeah.
And some people might say, "Yeah, I'm president of my company, or I'm manager of this, or I do that," or whatever. That certainly makes sense. But what do you put first in your life? If you put Christ in the front of everything, it changes the dynamics of every decision you make. It changes all of the way that you run the business. We're not perfect, of course, but one of the things we really, really try to do is try to put our clients before our needs. Our motto, if we had one, was, if you do what's right for your customer, you'll never go wrong. And that's kind of what Jesus did when he said, if you want to be the greatest, what?
You need to be the least.
Be the least. Be the least.
Yeah. He also said that when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness in Matthew 6:33, all things will be added unto us.
That's right.
It comes through that, Jim, you do exude Christ and you're concerned about his kingdom. And it was just divine intervention that we got hooked up.
I agree.
For this website and a lot of help with some of the electronics and things that we're using now to get you out into the digital world are basically the skill of your people that are allowing JesusHelps.me to promote the kingdom of God. And I know all of us who volunteer here at JesusHelps.me are really thankful for your support and help. Been great.
Well, we're happy to do it. And anything that obviously can help promote the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're in 100%. It's a joy. It's a privilege. It's something that we really, really like doing. Do we do it perfectly? Of course not. But one of the things we really try to do is to put our clients before our needs, because if you do what's right for your customers, you'll never go wrong, or very rarely will you go wrong. And as long as Jesus has your back, I don't care what problems you come into, and I say that. Of course, we can run across certain things that can really take us for a loop. But if we live for him, isn't it amazing how things have a tendency to work out a little bit better than if you do it your own way?
Absolutely. Speaking of living for him, I don't really know the story on this. How does a guy who is a district sales manager has this idea and starts a company, sells the company, then keeps the name of the company, and then moves in a different direction. So how does a guy like that end up as a pastor of a church?
Well,
now tell us about, how did you, am I correct, you ended up?
Yeah, that's right. You have a great memory.
So yeah. You actually pastored a church for
that's
how
right.
long?
For about a year.
For about a year.
For about a year.
So tell us the experience, because a lot of Christian businessmen sometimes feel called to a ministry and they wonder, well, should I be doing this for the Lord? Or, man, should I really go into full-time Christian service? Was this a full-time job, part-time job? Tell us a little bit for those that might be thinking about, well, I'm not exactly sure what God's going to do with my life.
I heard something on the way back from Destin, Florida to Memphis, Tennessee back in the 70s that I never forgot. You know how you're driving along, you turn the AM radio and you're picking out stations in Chicago or New Orleans or St. Louis or wherever. Well, this one minister, and I don't know where he was, but he had something I never forgot. He said, you can't say God without saying go. You can't say Satan without saying sat. God wants you to get involved. God wants you to get off the bench. God wants you to be active in his kingdom.
Amen.
Not just to go in and sit on a pew and take it all in and go off and live your life normally. No, you can't say God without saying go, and God wants us to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. He wants us to go.
Acts 1:8. And he said he'd go with us.
That's right. And get involved. So to make a long story short, I was driving down Jackson Avenue, and there's a place called Eastland Presbyterian Church that just looks like it's seen its better days.
And what year was this?
This was probably around 1998-ish, is a guess.
Okay, so we're 11 years into Telelink, and is this about the time you had sold your original Telelink idea, or was this?
No, this was after I sold the original Telelink idea.
Okay, and so you're still pursuing Telelink as it is today.
That's right.
And so you're driving down and you just see a church and think.
I walked in, and this was like after the service, and I said, do y'all have a permanent minister? No. Well, that's kind of interesting. Are you interested in a permanent minister? Yeah, we kind of are. Well,
now, who are you meeting with?
I'm just like, they only had like four or five people.
Oh, they're only four or five, very small.
Very small, people. Very small church. And was just kind of drive by this church every now and then. It's tugging at my heart. It might be a prick of the Holy Spirit, but went in and just talked to the people there and said, I would love to be able to offer my services if you would want me to come by. And so did it for about a year, and boy, I tell you what, we had some miraculous things occur.
Other than you heard a minister on the radio say, well, God means go, what background, what prepared you for this ministry? Do you just feel like this is something God wanted you to do? Because that's a pretty bold move.
That's a great question. Well, I'll answer it two ways. The first way that I'll answer it is, The Bible also says in Proverbs that a watchman stands in vain if the Lord doesn't watch for him. And if we go off on a tangent on our own, there's probably a good chance it's not going to work out real well. So I think God just pricked my heart. And how did I prepare for it? God said, go. Okay, I'll go. And it was an adventure. It was so cool. I could tell you story after story after story. This is what I learned. You go up, you prepare, you do what you're supposed to do, and then take three steps back and let God do what God does best and try not to get in his way. Now, sometimes I have a trouble with that, but I learned pretty quickly. If I go in where God wants me to go and do what I'm supposed to do and take two or three steps back and let God does what he does best and let me not get in his way, miraculous things can happen. So number two, how did God prep me? I think in a lot of ways, which is what we talked about previously, by knowing God's word and doing what God wants you to do and not kind of going off in a direction that you know, this isn't right. This isn't blessed by God. This is contrary to his word. But as long as we are blessed by going out to share to the lost, the good news, how can you not do it? And so really, basically, that's how God prepped me. That's how God prompted me. And I'd like to say that's how I pleased him by being obedient to him.
You know, living the Christian life is not a spectator sport.
Right.
One of the really neat things, if you go to overseas missions that Lisa and I have seen, particularly outside the United States. Following Jesus outside the United States is not a spectator sport that you only do once a week.
Absolutely.
There are no spectators in the Ugandan church. Everybody in the church is active. Everybody's doing. Everybody's serving. There's no one that just comes and watches.
And let me interrupt just for a second. If there's anybody listening right now, and this kind of is pricking your heart to get involved. Yep. If you kind of feel like, you know, I've been putting this off for too long, or I made this promise a long time ago, let me encourage you that if this is something that you feel like the Lord's leading you to do, do it.
Do it.
Do it. And let's look at the disciples. What background did they have? Well, they were fishermen, and Jesus came in and said, I'm going to turn your lives upside down and make you fishers of men.
Yeah, he said, follow me. Well, it's been great having you here this afternoon, Jim, and I've really enjoyed. And you're going to have to come back.
Oh, I'd love it.
And we're going to have to expand on some of these ideas. And I think as this show airs at the beginning of the new year, we've given a lot of people that are followers of Christ something to think about.
And I'd like to end, if you don't mind, sure, be saying this. This is the beginning of a new year. Mm-hmm. And if you really know God has prompted you to do something and you have yet to do it, you got to do it because you're missing out on a blessing. Just do it.
If you're out there and you're thinking, man, I wish I knew God like that, and you're really, really searching and wonder, how can I, too, have this personal relationship with God? Well, it all starts with being honest. I would highly recommend that you go find a New Living Translation Bible and that you look in the front of it, look up in the index, find the book of John, and just begin reading through the book of John. Read it out loud and ask God, God, I really, really, really want to understand this, and I really, really want to know you. Begin your journey with God simply and honestly. If there's anything we can do for you here at JesusHelps.me, there are a lot of us that would love to jump in and travel with you on this journey of knowing God. So give us a call at 1-855-775-3787. Remember that we're all volunteers and we don't have the phones manned. Or drop us an email at info@JesusHelps.me. And we would love to send you some material. If you don't have a Bible, we'll drop you one in the mail. And just remember this, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter where you are in your life right now, because of who Jesus is and how much he loves you, there is always hope.
There is hope.
This is a Valley of the Whale production.